have the opportunity to continue with the message series that we've been on called Save the World. Today is Save the World 7, and today's is Testify. So will you join me in prayer as we begin? Father, we thank you for a new day. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We worship you this morning. We ask that you would continue to have your way in and through us. Lord, we thank you for your kindness towards us in ways we see, in ways we can't see. And Lord, we thank you that you're always at work towards to do good towards us. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would connect to our hearts today. Lord, that you would reveal more of Jesus to us. We love you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I typically give a message, I go through this process and just asking the Lord for direction and what he wants to speak. And in past times, sometimes a pastor has given me an open slate and said, what's in your heart to speak. And other times he's like, I want you to speak about this. And this time it was, he wanted to just say, what's in your heart to speak? And I don't know if any of you, like college students, have written a paper and you're assigned a specific thing versus you can write whatever you want about an open subject. Sometimes it's harder just to decide what you're going to research and write than it is to actually do the paper. And so I was thankful for today, like earlier in this week as I was preparing, that the Lord, it was just instantaneous. And I joked earlier in first service that, you know, the commercial, or there's the easy button. Well, that was easy. And so I was thankful to the Lord that he revealed quickly to me what he wanted me to share. And so testimony is what I wanted to highlight with you today. And you'll see what we'll talk about as we move forward. As I looked at testify, in the Greek lexicon, it talks about the word testify is matureo. And it says to be a witness, to bear witness, i.e. to affirm that one has been or heard or experienced something, or that he knows it because taught by divine revelation or inspiration. And then it continues and it says, to give, not to keep back testimony, to utter honorable testimony, give a good report. And it's interesting that the word matureo is part of the root of martyr, you know, that we have the privilege of being in a time and an age in United States of America where there's very little cost for us to speak of our testimony. There's some around the world, Pakistan, China, other places where it may cost you your life to speak up of what you believe in. Do you guys know that's to be true? You know, the persecuted church is, throughout the world, we have, some may say it's a hindrance because when there's no cost, maybe we take it for granted. Nonetheless, each of you have a testimony. And a testimony is speaking to God's work in your life, God's work in your heart, to reveal Jesus to you. And who knows that the gospel doesn't need to be made attractive. The gospel doesn't need to be made dressed up. The gospel is attractive. The gospel is real. It just needs to be spoken. And so this morning, I wanted to share a few things regarding testify. And the place I went and I began with was I looked at a scripture in Luke. And I won't, I didn't put the scripture up on the slide for you because I just wanted to read it to you. But you're welcome to look at it yourself if you'd like and you wanted to turn to Luke. The scripture we're going to start with is actually Luke 7, 36 through 47. And I just want to read with you this passage. But before I do that, there's this thing called, you can see that I put up on the slide, the comparison trap. who knows that we as humans have this innate, insidious temptation to compare ourselves to one another, right? And who knows that that's not helpful? And in a way, and actually in a day and age of social media, there's even an increased temptation to compare ourselves one to another. And this is pervasive in its scope, and I would say that even in our testimony, sometimes we have a tendency to compare ourselves to one another. And I'm just here to say that a testimony, have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe you've said it yourself, that my testimony is boring, or my testimony isn't that interesting? And I'm here to affirm that anyone who has passed from death to life, from darkness to light, who has transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, who has transferred from living in condemnation, self-hatred, to the life of acceptance and love in the kingdom of God, that is not boring. Amen? Your story matters. Your life matters. What God is doing in your heart and your life, not only throughout the history of your life, but now, matters. And we each have the opportunity and privilege to share our testimony. There was, we won't go there yet. There's somebody who, an author that wrote this, he said, actually it was she. She said, one, courage, the original definition of courage when it first came into the English language, it's from the Latin word cur, meaning heart. And the original definition was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. Isn't that beautiful? Now, being courageous, we sometimes have a different definition of what that looks like. But I would say that's profound to think about courage defined as being willing, vulnerable enough to tell your story with your whole heart. And as we go in the world and we interact with people, there are windows of opportunity to hear other people's story, but also to tell our story. And part of telling our story is unfolding to people the good, the bad, the ugly, but in all of it laced with the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, where would I be? I think even in first service, I gave an invitation for people to share a testimony or to testify. And after service, a young woman said, can I speak to you? And so I went over and sat with her. And she said, can I tell you a testimony? And I said, I would love to hear it. And she went on to tell me that when she was really young, I don't remember the age, but she fell into a pool and drowned and flatlined and was dead. And they revived her and she flatlined again. And then they revived her again and she survived. And she said, I must be here for a purpose. You know, and we had the opportunity to pray together, and she's like, I'm still trying to discover more of what that purpose is. And I said, I believe that with my whole heart, that you are here for a purpose. And God didn't save you for nothing. And that is a testimony of God's saving grace upon her life, that she would snatch her from death. And so as we continue, I wanted to share with you this passage, and I'm going to read Luke 7. And you'll connect some dots as we do. But I just wanted to say that if your testimony, you grew up in a good home, a loving, nurturing, caring home, or if you grew up in a broken, dysfunctional home, both are needed in the sense of God can work in your heart, in your life, no matter where you came from. Because where you came from doesn't determine where you go. And He has the power to redeem every life. And anyone who turns their heart to Him can be saved out of whatever it is. And So there's no need for us to compare our testimonies, to compare anything between us. You are an unrepeatable, one-of-a-kind miracle of God. Your story is unique. Your story is important. Your testimony is important, okay? So as we read this, it says in Luke 7:36, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know that what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both their debts, canceling them. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." Jesus said, "That's right." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And as we see this story, I think it's important to recognize that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And when we look down our nose at anyone, we've missed the point of the grace of God. I like to liken it to a long jump contest across the Grand Canyon. You know, my brother Mason here probably could jump over 20 feet. And I could probably maybe jump, I don't know, 16 feet or something like that. I might be being a little generous. But nonetheless, if Mason and I had a long jump contest in, over the Grand Canyon, we'd end up in the same place. And that's what it's like trying to compare our sins and trying to be better than somebody else out of our own goodness or righteousness. As the scripture says, we are, our righteousness is are like filthy rags inside of the holiness of God, right? And the chasm that separates us from God because of our sin is unsurmountable, right? And that is just how extravagant the mercy, the forgiveness, the love of God is towards us in Christ. That he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And the east never meets the west. And that's a beautiful picture of just how vast, how wide, how great the love of God is towards us. So when we hold out to the world to point people to Jesus, to speak to his mercy, we testify of his goodness and his greatness that we're welcoming them to, right? We're inviting them to experience what we've experienced, and that's the mercy, the kindness, and the grace of God. And so there's another passage that I would like to share briefly also that's listed in the comparison trap. And it says, in Caitlin's really enjoying this sermon. Did you hear her amen? So Luke 18 says in verse 9 through 14, it says, Jesus taught this parable to those who were convinced they were morally upright and those who trusted in their own virtue yet looked down on others with disgust. Once there were two men who went into the temple to pray. One was proud, religious leader, the other despised tax collector. The religious leader stood apart from the others and prayed. He was social distancing. How I thank you, O God, that I'm not wicked like everyone else. They're cheaters, swindlers, and crooks like that tax collector over there. God, you know that I never cheat or commit adultery. I fast from food twice a week and I give you a tenth of all I make. The tax collector stood off alone in the corner, away from the holy place, and covered his face in his hands, feeling that he was unworthy even to look up to God. Beating his breast, he sobbed with brokenness and tears, saying, God, please, in your mercy and because of the blood of sacrifice, forgive me, for I am nothing but the most miserable of all sinners. Which one of them left for home that day made right with God? It was the humble tax collector and not the religious leader. For everyone who praises himself will one day be humiliated before all. And everyone who humbles himself will one day be lifted up and honored before all. Do you see this contrast and the comparison trap? This guy thought he was had it all together and looked down at this guy. But he missed the whole point of the extravagance of the grace and mercy and love of God. And so when we hold out that to the world, we're saying, it's not because I have it all together, it's because I don't, that I need God. And that's what we get to enjoy as the family of God. In Romans 8, it says, there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful, that we get to walk up into this space and do life together as a family, and there's no condemnation. Because we all are in the same boat of needing the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And none of us has it all together. We're pointing each other to the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And so part of my testimony or testify, I put this picture up. In this picture, I was 6 years old. And part of my story was, I don't even know if my parents remember this, but when I was about this age, I was over at my friend John Wade's house. He lived two doors down, and I just remember him. He had this big piggy bank, and I remembered being jealous, and I remember when he wasn't looking, I snatched some of his pennies, and I put them in my pocket, and I went home, and my parents asked, where'd those come from? And so I ended up admitting that I had stolen them, and they walked me back over to return them to John. And I share that story to say that whether you're raised up in a good home or you're raised up in a dysfunctional home, regardless, you come to the conclusion that I need a savior. That I can't save myself. And at an early age, I recognized as a thief that I had fallen short and missed the mark and missed the glory of God. And I remember distinctly going over to the Jovanovich's house two streets down and went to a summer VBS. And in the backyard, they had a puppet show and they presented the gospel. And I remember tearing up and giving my heart to Jesus. And though that was a long, long time ago, it's vivid and seared into my memory of hearing the gospel, hearing that you can be forgiven, the conviction that you don't have to try to measure up and be good enough, that the grace of God is present and available to you. And so with that, that's what we are doing when we testify, right? We are proclaiming that he is good, that his grace is sufficient, that his mercy and his forgiveness covers us. And so we read in Titus 3, and this was the passage I just sprung up in my heart as I was reflecting on what does it mean to testify. And It says in 1 through 8, remind the people to respect their governmental leaders on every level as law-abiding citizens to be ready to fulfill their civic duty. And remind them to never tear down anyone with their words or quarrel, but instead be considerate, humble, and courteous to everyone. Wouldn't that be great if that was the norm on social media? It continues, for it wasn't long ago that we behaved foolishly in our stubborn disobedience. We were easily led away astray as slaves to worldly passions and pleasures. We wasted our lives in doing evil, and with hateful jealousy, we hated others. When the extraordinary compassion of God, our Savior, and his overpowering love suddenly appeared in person as the brightness of a dawning day, just as Peter talked about in the beauty of God's creation, he came to save us, not because of any virtuous deed that we had done, but only because of his extravagant mercy. He saved us, resurrecting us through the washing of rebirth. We are made completely new by the Holy Spirit, whom he splashed over us richly by Jesus the Messiah, our life giver. And it says in close, so as a gift of his love, and since we are faultless, innocent before his face, we can now become heirs of all things, all because of an overflowing hope of eternal life. How true and faithful is this message? Do you see that? Do you see that the mercy, the extravagant love of God showed up somewhere in your life? And you experienced it. And it impacted your heart to the recognition that I need a Savior. I need his love. I need his forgiveness. And so when we testify, we're holding that out to the world as his ambassadors, that you're welcome. Come join the family of those who recognize that we don't got our stuff together, that we need a Savior.